Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Steve. If we've not met before, it's really good to see you today. Let's just pray together, shall we, before we come around God's word together. Yeah, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity just to be together and to come around your word. And we just pray today, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? Would you come and guide us and lead us? Would you challenge us? Would you shape us and form us into becoming more like Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So the question, what would be the hardest food or drink for you to give up? Let's hear it. Trifle. Chocolate, coffee. I'll tell you what, we'll go around the room. What have we got over here? Chocolate and coffee? Crisps. What was that, Freya? Pepsi Max from around here? Cheese? Rice? Meat? Cheese was that as cheese? Any more for cheese? There's a few for cheese. Go on, Ian.
Cheesecake.
That's a good one. Anyone else from the middle here? Chips. Lamb. Lamb. Anyone over here? Chocolate, coffee, wine. Any more? You're just clapping at me. I don't know what you said though. Was it pounded yam? Pounded yam and energy drinks that I hear as well. There's a lot of things that would be hard for us all to give up in some way, wouldn't there? Pounded yam, apparently, with a lot of excitement over there. I think I've reflected on this question all week, and I think my answer would be rice. There are other things that I think I'd find it hard to give up, but I do eat a lot of rice in my diet. So that would be, I think, my answer. For many of us, food is more than just food, isn't it? It's comfort, it's routine, it's celebration and reward, and for many of us, it's emotional too. Today, we're going to be talking about the spiritual practice of fasting. So welcome to church, everybody. If you're here for the first time, we're really glad to have you with us on this Sunday. Fasting can bring up a whole range of emotions. We saw that from a survey that we sent out on our WhatsApp announcement board this week. Some of you said that fasting's already part of your life. Others said that you've tried it but didn't really see the benefit of it. Some of you are curious, but you're just unsure about how to start. And some of you shared how it's quite a complicated thing. It brings up anxiety, difficult emotions around food and food struggles. So for some, it's exciting. For others, it's daunting and quite a sensitive thing. And both of those are completely valid. And I want to say this at the beginning today, just as clearly as I can. For some people, because of medical conditions or your relationship with food, fasting might not be appropriate for you right now. And that's not failure. I want you to hear that today. That's not failure. That's just wisdom to just say, actually, this isn't where I'm at the moment. For some of you, the most faithful step right now isn't fasting. It's reaching out for help, speaking to somebody, and maybe just beginning a journey of healing. But don't think that that gives everybody an excuse out of this today, okay? For some of you, the most... for everyone else in the room, I guess, today and joining us online, whether you feel curious or you're unsure or perhaps a little hesitant, my hope is that today in some way will help. Perhaps you found yourself at some point asking a question like this, but why do we need to fast? Why can't we just simply pray? Our world is actually quite familiar with fasting. People fast for all kinds of reasons. Again, we saw this on the survey. Over 50% of you have fasted in some way for non-faith reasons, whether it's for health or a detox, for mental clarity, for discipline. Intermittent fasting's quite popular at the moment. Perhaps you've come from a different religion and it was part of your rhythm in that religion. So the idea of going without food, in that sense, it's not strange to us. But in many ways, I've no doubt that as I talk about fasting today, there will be a sense of resistance in the room, a sense of, you want me to give up food in some way. Why? Well, we'll talk about it now, don't worry. Because what makes fasting different for us here as followers of Jesus, as a practice, as followers of Jesus, isn't that we just give up food simply. It's why we fast. And we're not trying to improve ourselves in some way by giving up food. We are simply making space for God. And so in giving up food for some kind of amount of time, what we're doing is we're making space for Jesus in that time. I like how Reward Subunda puts it. He says, a diet changes the way that we look, but fasting changes the way we see. That God can bring guidance and speak to us, like that is what sets apart fasting as we talk about it today. It's taking something that we normally rely upon, like food, and saying, God, I need you more than this. So who's ready for the big reveal? Last week we had a cloudy, jar. Thank you. The word has gone from me. So here's the big reveal. Anybody watch BGT? Anybody see that motorbike just disappear? Well, get ready. This is going to be just as powerful. We have a plate. Now, as we talk today about fasting, as we say, God, I need you more, I want you to keep in mind those things that you said before would be really hard and difficult to give up. Over the last few weeks, we've been exploring this idea that if we want more of Jesus, it often starts with less. Less noise, less distraction, less sin, less clutter. And in the same space, we're making room for more space, for more awareness, for more hunger for God. And so at its heart, fasting is a way, as we've said, to create more space for Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine with me that this plate represents your life. And for most of us, this plate is already full. For example, it's full with things like work or school or college. It's full with things like our family, which is a good thing, right? But it takes up a lot of our lives. It fills the plate. It's also things like the responsibilities. This is going to be a really nutritious meal here. It's the responsibilities that we have in life. They just keep coming. Let's add a little bit of healthiness. It's, the notifications that we have in our lives constantly buzzing. Let's have some pistachio nuts, which represents the noise in our lives. There's no kind of particular link there, but I'll tell you what, let's have some more crisps as well. Distractions, the many distractions that come in our lives. And what happens is we fill up our life in this way with all of these different things in our life. And then we say, God, I want more of you. But the reality is there's not much space left on our plates for more of God. And so what we try to do is we just try to add Jesus on the top. Another podcast, another worship song, another sermon. I'll just fit something in some way to try and create more of God in my life. But fasting does something different. Fasting is about choosing less so that there can be more of Jesus in our lives. And what you make space for is what you will begin to experience more of. What you create space for is what you will begin to experience more of. Mark Batterson says this. He says, an empty stomach may be the most powerful prayer posture in Scripture. It shows God that we mean business. And when we fast, God makes our business his business. An empty stomach may be the most powerful prayer posture in Scripture. Fasting is one of the ways that we say, God, this matters. This matters so much, this business of mine, that I'm going to make space for you in a real and tangible way. I first tried fasting when I was 18, and it was simply one meal a week. And honestly, it was miserable. And so for years after that, I avoided it. I didn't see the point, but over time, something shifted. Not because I suddenly enjoyed being hungry, but because I began to experience something deeper with God. Now, to be honest, there have been times when I fasted intentionally for things in my life, some personal things like health issues, and I have seen no breakthrough, no answer to those prayers. And so you might think, well, why would you carry on with fasting then? And I understand that question today. But when I then look back over my life and I intentionally look through things like my journals, I begin to see that actually throughout times of fasting, God has answered many other prayers. He's done many amazing things. I don't know about you, but it's often the things that God doesn't answer, though, that seem to be bigger in my mind than remembering the many things that God has done. I've seen how through times of fasting, he's mended relationships. He's helped out friends and family through difficult situations. He's provided in ways that I could never have imagined he could do. He's spoken words of wisdom and direction right at the time that they were needed. And even when that specific thing that I have asked God for didn't happen, fasting has still changed me. Because as I've spent that time fasting, I've created more space for Jesus in my life. And as we do that, it is inevitable that he will shape the way that we think, the way that we might respond. He shapes how we live our lives. And we see this in the first recorded fast in Scripture. So if you have a Bible, I want you to dive back to near the beginning, the second book of the Bible. We're going to Exodus today, Exodus chapter 34. And the context of what we're about to read is that God says to Moses, Moses, come and spend some time with me. Create some space. Come and be with me. And he invites Moses onto Mount Sinai to meet with him. And here is a glimpse. We haven't got time to read it all, but just a glimpse of what he experiences. So Exodus 34 says this, then the Lord came down in the cloud. He stood there with Moses and announced his name, the Lord. As he passed in front of Moses, he called out. He said, I am the Lord, the Lord. I am the God who is tender and kind. I am gracious. I am slow to get angry. I am faithful and full of love. And then just jumping forward to verse 8. We see it says Moses bowed down to the ground at once and worshipped. Just a few things to notice in this encounter. As Moses makes space to be with God, we see that in that moment, God came and he stood before Moses. Like, that blows my mind. This was an amazing experience for Moses here. And in that moment, as he stood there, he reveals something of his character to Moses. First of all, he reveals his name and he says it twice, I am the Lord, the Lord. And then he says, and I am full of mercy, compassion, I'm patient, I'm unfailing in love. Like, this is who I am. And then we see that Moses, he responds in the only way that you can in that moment when the Lord is stood before you. He falls down and worships. And then at the end of this chapter, we get a bit more context as to what has been going on for Moses at this time. So jump forward to verse 28. It says this, Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat any food or drink any water. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He had the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. His face was shining because he had spoken with the Lord, but he didn't realize it. So, Moses, this encounter that we just looked at in the verses before, the context to all of this is that Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been there fasting. He ate no food and no drink for this period of time. What was he doing? He was making space for God to encounter with him. And as he created space for God to encounter with him through fasting, when he comes down, we're told that his face is glowing. His face is glowing. Now, here's the challenge for today. 40 days, no food. Are you up for it? Amen. See a few excited hands go up. We're going to go up Helsby Hill for the next 40 days. No. This encounter for Moses, as he begins to reflect God's glory, it all begins with him making space to encounter with God. And here's what we see. We see that as Moses begins to reflect God's glory, we see this today, that who or what you spend time with, you begin to reflect. Who or what you spend time with, you begin to reflect. And the same is true for us. If you spend hours scrolling, consuming content, then you will begin to think like the things that you scroll and consume. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it is a bad thing. But we'll begin to speak differently. We'll begin to see the world differently. I have lived in the West, then the South, then the East, and the North of England. So I am very confused with my accent. I don't entirely know what it is. And sometimes I will say grass, and other times I'll say grass. It gets very confusing. But what's happened is that where I've lived, the people I've talked with, the places I've been, it's shaped me in different ways. Something I've noticed, Lois and Gabe, how long have you been together for now? 3 years. So in the last 3 years, Lois has begun to use different phrases, say different things that she didn't say before. And that's because she's met Gabe. And so Gabe has these different sayings and phrases. And what's happened is over time, she's begun to reflect those things that Gabe says and his phrases. Sorry, Gabe. The same is true for us with Jesus. If we spend time with Jesus, then guess what? We'll begin to reflect him in our lives. The more that we create space to be with Jesus, the more we become like him. And the more our character will shift, the more we reflect him to the world around us. And this is what happens when we intentionally make space on the plate of our lives to be with God. And so here's how we're going to look at fasting today. Two words, two main ways that we see fasting in Scripture: rhythm and response. The two main ways that we see fasting throughout Scripture: rhythm and response. The first one, rhythm. Rhythm is about making space regularly in our lives for fasting. This is the kind of fasting that becomes just simply part of your life. It's the space that you set aside for encounter and relationship with Jesus. It's where we make that space intentionally in our diaries to meet with Jesus through fasting. In the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been looking at in our last series and we'll come back to later in the year, and we haven't got to this part yet, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about prayer, giving, and fasting. And for all of them, he says, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. He says, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth that this is the only reward they will ever get. When Jesus says, when you fast, it's because fasting was never meant to be a rare or an extreme thing. In Jesus' time, fasting was simply part of everyday life. It was about when and not if. Because for his listeners, there was already a rhythm. Many Jewish people fasted twice a week. But also there were different festivals like Yom Kippur, which they would intentionally spend time fasting as a community. And the early church, history tells us, for at least the first 1,500 years after Jesus, fasted on a Wednesday and a Friday. And this was just simply a normal rhythm of following Jesus. And so for centuries, it's been part of the Christian life. It only seems to be when you look throughout history, more so recently, especially in the Western church, that fasting has become something that's unusual. Or even in many followers of Jesus' lives, and there's no shame here, but just simply forgotten. It's not for me. This was normal. But fasting throughout scripture, fasting throughout followers of Jesus' lives, it was a rhythm. Not only though throughout scripture, when we see it, is it a rhythm, it's also a response. Moments where something is broken, where something is urgent, where something simply has to change. An example of this would be in Esther, and we're not going to look at these stories today, so if you're taking notes, just write down Esther chapter 4 and 5. But in the book of Esther, we see this moment where the Jewish people are facing elimination. There's a man who, his name has gone from me now, it begins with a H. Haman, thank you. Haman, he wants to destroy the Jewish people. And in this encounter, Queen Esther, she's got an opportunity to have some influence with the king. And so what she does is she calls the people to a three-day fast. She says, don't eat anything for 3 days. Seek God. And then in 3 days' time, I will go and see the king on our behalf. And after 3 days, she goes to see the king. And it's an amazing, miraculous moment because the king says to her, Esther, anything you want, you can have it. Like even half the land, you can have it. And Esther gets this amazing favor from God through the king, and all of the people are rescued and saved. There's this response to this incredible need, and God moves as the people humble themselves and they fast and pray. A couple of other examples for you. Jonah and the people of Nineveh. Jonah calls the people of Nineveh and he says, look, you're going to be destroyed unless you humble yourselves and pray and fast. And so the people of Nineveh, they responded to that invitation to pray, to fast, to confess, and Nineveh is saved. In Mark chapter 9, we've got a boy who is distressed by evil spirits, and it's having an awful impact on his life. And in this story, we're told that the disciples, they tried to pray for him to be released from these evil spirits. But they can't do it. And then they say to Jesus, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus says to them, some things can only be broken through prayer and fasting. And so in this moment, this boy is healed as Jesus prays for him. There's this response moment. It's when fasting is combined together with prayer. It's saying, God, we don't just need you in theory. We need you with everything that we are. And so we begin to remove things from our lives just temporarily. It's not forever. Don't worry. And as we remove these things, what we're doing is we're simply making space. And we're just coming before God and we're just laying our lives before God and we're saying, God, I need you more than anything in my life right now. God, I need to encounter you. God, I need to see your face. God, I need to experience something of who you are. God, I need you to speak your love and your compassion over my life. God, I need breakthrough in my marriage. God, I need you to break through for my child today. God, I need you to break through in whatever it might be. God, there's addiction in my life. God, there's sin in my life, and I just can't seem to move forward. And so, God, I just lay my life before you, and I say, God, I hunger for you. God, I need you more than anything in my life. And so, I hear you ask, how do we do this? Well, thank you for asking. So here's a few questions that might be on your mind today. First of all, how long do I fast for? And the answer is, I don't know. There's no single answer today. As we look through scripture, we see that there were fasts that last for one day, for 3 days, for 7 days, for 21 days, and for 40 days. So take your pick. Now, my encouragement to you today would be to start small. For some of you, that might just be one meal. For others, it might be longer. A really common rhythm, particularly for the early church, as I said, as they fasted twice a week, was to simply fast from sundown to sundown. Now, as the days get longer, let's just call it 6 till 6. Otherwise, it's going to be a long old fast. But that's not an easy way to do it, but that's one way to do it. The point really isn't about the length. The point is this. It's about making space for Jesus. Because we could all fast. We could all give up food for a meal. But if we don't intentionally use that time to spend time with Jesus, then we are simply just on a hunger strike. Like, it's about creating space to be with Jesus. Over time, for me, that's just become a regular rhythm on a Wednesday, from sundown on a Tuesday till sundown on a Wednesday. And I will intentionally make sure that when it's breakfast, lunchtime, I spend that time seeking Jesus. And that's the important thing, as I said. But there's other times when God has, I feel, by his Spirit, prompted me to fast for longer times. And I've said, are you sure? And then, are you sure, many, many, many more times before finally agreeing to it in some way. But I want to encourage you, just start with wherever you are at today. If you've never fasted before, just start with one meal. Just where you are at right now, I encourage you. Just take that step in some way. Next question, should I fast alone or with others? The answer to this one is both. Fasting alone is good, having those private moments with Jesus, but also fasting together is good. When Jesus talked on the Sermon on the Mount, and that passage that we read before, he talks about it being a private practice, but he's not against doing it in community. He's saying it's about the heart. Don't do it in front of others and brag about it, about how long you fasted and how dramatic it was and how hard it was and how amazing you are, because that's not the point or the purpose of fasting. The point is to meet with Jesus. The point is that you begin to reflect Jesus. And so in this season, we've set aside, we do this every year, the month of May, to intentionally just create more space to be with Jesus. And so there's a great opportunity over these next 4 weeks to fast together in community, starting with this week on Wednesday. I would love to encourage you and invite you to do that. It's a great opportunity for us all. What are the challenges? Well, first of all, it's not easy. If you've ever fasted, then you know that. It's not easy. Like choosing when to fast. We've all got busy lives. There's many distractions. There's hunger that will come our way. So be practical. Plan ahead for your times of fasting. Maybe plan intentionally for a day when you know things are just a bit slower. Drink lots of water would be my encouragement, and also use mouthwash and use it regularly, because your breath stinks when you fast, because what's happening is the dead cells are coming up and you're not producing saliva. That's the rough science behind it anyway. But like mouthwash, breath spray, mints, like just use them is what I'm saying. But also use that time to pray. Use that time to be intentionally still, as we've talked about in this series. Use that time to confess your sin. Use that time to worship. Use that time to listen to God's voice, to read scripture, like intentionally creating space for Jesus. And I think this is really important. Don't judge your experience too quickly. There's every chance that the first time you try fasting like I did, it will be miserable. But God is doing something. Like, things are happening. Just offer that time to God and then just say, God, be with me. And maybe when you fast, like I've done many times, you'll give in to temptation. because the food just smells so good. And again, God is gracious, loving, and forgiving. Just say, God, I give you this time. Thank you for your love. Let's go again. Because that's what God says. He just says, let's go again. Let's try again. There's so much grace. Start small and crawl before we walk, and then walk before we run. The goal isn't to just try it once and hate it and never do it again. The goal is to let it become a rhythm in our lives. When I trained for a marathon, people would say to me, why? Why would you do that to yourself? And I would often say to myself, why as well? And from the outside, when you see people training for things like a marathon, it doesn't make much sense why you would put yourself through that. But when you're in it, you experience something that they can't see. You experience the strength that it's building, the growth that it brings, even the joy that comes through it, through what you call the runner's high. Like, there's joy there. And so from the outside, it doesn't look like it makes much sense. And the truth is that that's the case with fasting. As I talk about it today, you might be here today thinking, doesn't really make much sense. Why would I do that? But I want to encourage you that if you will try it, if you will intentionally make that space for more of Jesus in your life, things will happen. Transformation will come. Like, God will move in your life. God will begin to speak to you. You'll begin to see breakthrough. I promise you that will happen as you intentionally make that space. It might not fully make sense to others, but something shifts when you step into it. Jesus fasted, as we have talked a little bit and touched upon today, which means he hasn't asked us to do something that he hasn't also experienced himself. He knows what it is to hunger. He knows what it is to depend upon the Father in that place of hunger. And he invites us into that same kind of life. And so here's the invitation this week. Create space for Jesus through fasting. Create space for Jesus through fasting. And as you think about that this week, I want you to consider this. What might be on the other side of that space? Is there a fresh experience for you with God's love? Is there kindness, grace, compassion, and mercy that you've not yet experienced that God wants to pour into your life? Is there a shift or a change in your character that God wants to speak to you about? Is there a breakthrough for something that you've been praying for? A relationship that needs healing? A decision that you need some clarity on? What might God want to do as you make space for him? May we be a people who don't just want more of Jesus, but we intentionally create space for more of Jesus in our lives. Thank you.